Good morning, everybody. I gotta be careful because I did fill this one up a little bit higher than usual. Anyways, happy Sunday. It's good to be back. Hopefully the title's right everywhere because I decided at the last minute that I was going to have a co-host today, but the co-host is very welcome, of course. Burnout and avoiding it, too. I think I might have mentioned this on the podcast, but I had a pinched nerve in my neck that just completely messed up like everything for me for like a whole weekend training for like a week. And then, of course, my wife and I went to Ocean City on vacation for a brief moment. So my life was all out of whack there for a little bit. A Common Crown is recording. So, I mean, things have been very, very good, but I've been very, very busy. And when it comes to the political realm, the podcasting realm, I'm going to be honest, I felt a little burned out. But conversations like we had yesterday on Rule Zero are a lot more refreshing for me and kind of takes my mind off that stuff. And I kind of kicked rocks and kicked around doing like a heavy metal podcast. And I don't know if that'll ever come to fruition. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking about it. But not to keep my guests in the back room too long, I got to do all my obligatory shilling. So please make sure you go to tigerfitness.com through the links below. Use code Kyle at checkout to let them know I sent you. Someone's been using up all the orders and using the code. So that's all good stuff. As you can see, I got everything back here. This morning, I used the Ruckus Sour Gummy pre-workout, which I just absolutely love the flavors. They have the Fruit Punch and the Sour Gummy, and I use those all the time. I also have the Pump Chasers. I think it's a sour apple and the mango pineapple, I think it is. Anyways, all that stuff is specifically at tigerfitness.com, and I use those pre-workouts all the time. Also got my creatine pills from them, which I know most people normally get creatine in like a powdered form, but as I've said before, I use creatine pills because it just makes me a little bit more consistent with taking creatine. So all that stuff, tigerfitness.com, use code Kyle at checkout, or tigerfitness.com/KyleM, and that'll take you there. Deem Fit through the link below, and of course, Fox & Sons Coffee, which unfortunately I broke my Keurig. So if anybody's feeling generous, please send me like $40 in Super Chat so I can buy another Keurig pot. But if not, I'll buy one. I'll bite the bullet. No big deal. My wife's starting to drink the Fox & Sons well, and she really likes that as well. So just to let you know, you should probably buy some Fox & Sons as well and use code Kyle checkout to let Steven know that I sent you. So anyways, now that my obligatory shilling's out of the way, let's get into the rest of today's show about burnout and avoiding it.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
And bam, welcome back everybody to Sunday Coffee. And today I decided to bring a co-host with me. Jack, what's up, man?
What's up? Doing well. I forget how loud that intro is every time. Jeez.
I have some Super Chat videos and they're very, very loud. I got a new one. And normally if I have a guest on, depending on who they are, if they're like a high profile guest, I don't want to like scare the shit out of them by using one of these. But if it was someone like you or someone that I talk regularly with, I would use it. And I got a new one that's so funny, and I have a couple other videos I need to like blend in, but yeah.
Nah, I hear you. No, I've been doing well. Been busy, been very busy with doing all kinds of things for the books. The cover is in its final round of designs. The final edits are being made. I'm just waiting for Rob's forward, and then we are kind of good to go until I get home and actually can log in and publish the damn thing. Mm-hmm. But it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking because I'm very perfectionistic when it comes to that, and I know that if there's one mistake, I'm gonna end myself. Not literally, but it's like I could never live with myself if there's a mistake in there. Because like, but there's gonna be, so I just have to accept it. That's the biggest hurdle I need to jump over right now. But other than that, George has been great. Batumi's been great. I had a nice burger today. I had one of those. You had one of these burger joints here, and homemade burgers, like patties, like this thick.
Mm.
And they had like a triple one of those. I swear to God, that thing was not more expensive than like $6.
Wow.
I have a photo of the damn thing, actually. Hold up.
That's awesome. Yeah, where the new thing is Smash Burgers, and I gotta admit, I'm pretty into them. There's a joint down in Pittsburgh. What the hell is it called? I think it's called the Foundry. And there was a real bad storm here a couple weeks ago, and my brother's girlfriend and I went to go see Trivium Bull for my Valentine, and I was so upset, but they had to pull August Burns Red and Bleed From Within. And like one of the main reasons why I wanted to go to the show is because Bleed From Within was playing. And then it was Trivium doing all of Ascendancy and Bolt From My Valentine doing all the Poison. So, I mean, I was like super amped for this show. So we went to the Foundry right beforehand because my brother's girlfriend, she's starting to like convert out of veganism. And we both got food there, and they had like these smash burgers, and it's pretty cool because like the patties are real thin, but they're crispy. And they also use like onion and stuff in it, so it gives it like a really, really unique taste. And it was so good. So my wife and I went there again a couple weeks back. So
nice. All right. I'm just sharing the burger with you.
Yeah.
Oh my, hands my scale.
God.
All right. Yeah. Yep. That thing was good. The fries, I mean, left I to be desired.
Not good.
No, the fries were a bit mad. They were very mid, but the burger was like, oh yeah, that's some good shit. That's some good shit. But I mean, Bullet for My Valentine did the whole Poison. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well,
they still have the original lineup. Matt, his brother, that weird bassist with the goatee.
No. So now it's Matt, Padge, and Jamie Mathias is their bass player's name, who really, I hate to say this, but he kind of carries the band. Like, he is such a good singer, screamer, like, real, like, better than Matt. He's very fucking talented. And they have a new drummer. I don't know the drummer's name, but he, like, every video you see in the comments, it's just everybody saying, like, this dude looks like the happiest dude ever. Like, he's just loving life. And for me, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. So the bass player and the drummer are two guys that joined. I think the bass player joined back in like 2000. The drummer joined in like 20 or no, no, I'm sorry. The drummer joined in 2016. I think right after they put out Temper. I think that was the album. It was like their fourth or fifth album. And then the bass player joined in the album after that. But yeah, they're like really good, and they were fucking airtight. Like, their performance was fucking solid, and all the solos, everything that they played was smooth as silk. And Trivium was great. Like, those two albums, The Poison and Ascendancy, those are like my childhood albums. Ascendancy, between The Sin, The Sentence, and Ascendancy for Trivium, those are like my two favorites. It's really tough to figure out. Like, it could be day to day for me. And then Bull for My Valentine, definitely like their first two, Scream, Aim, Fire, and then The Poison. I just absolutely love those records. So it was really, really cool to see them. But like I said, I really wanted to see Bleed From Within. Trivium, I've seen them. I think this is my ninth time seeing them. And
Jesus.
Yeah. They were... it was awesome to see them play all these songs live, but there definitely was some slop in there. It seemed like a little bit more than usual. Like, Trivium is never perfect live, but like Bull for My Valentine, I was impressed by like how just clean cut everything was. So, but I mean, like, not enough. Trivium didn't like fuck anything up significantly enough that I'd be like, oh wow, like I wish I wouldn't have seen them. It was just like some parts where some stuff came out sloppy and just something just didn't seem right, which I've heard that multiple times where they played at this specific venue. So,
oh, okay. Paget or whatever his name is. Paget. Yeah. He was one of the founding members. So it's just yes. Matthew and Michael. Those are the only two left of the founding. Interesting.
Yeah. So like I said, their drummer joined in, I think it was like 2016 or something like that. And the bass player joined in 2018. I might not have that perfect.
I remember, like, I went to Bullet for my Valentine with one of my first girlfriends. It was so fucking cringe. We were dating 6 months. It's like, you got to do something special. I got tickets to Bullet for my freaking Valentine. Now, the band name alone now just gives me a little bit of cringe, but that solo from Hand of Blood, it's cool. It is pretty dope. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, dude, it's so catchy. But you know, that's the kind of stuff that, like, I think a lot of people remember from those kind of albums. Just like, there was something else, and I'm sure probably everybody looks back.
That whole scene was something else. This is like 2000. This is 2005 to 2012. It was You had what was it? That my favorite metal album of all time, by the way, Ashes of the Wake.
Lamb of God. I told you last year, my buddy Connor and I went and saw Mastodon and Lamb of God, and they were doing all of Leviathan and all Ashes of the Wake. Oh, so cool.
That I would have loved to see, in all honesty. If I had known that year, I probably would have seen Lamb of God for the entire Ashes of the Wake album. Yeah, because that's my favorite metal album. But then they released Sacrament, which that's where they kind of broke to the mainstream with Redneck. And I'm not going to lie, though it's not a bad album, I think that's where they kind of lost they lost what made Ashes of the Wake so good. And I can't describe it, but Sacrament was too polished, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, you know what's funny is that I would debate that, and maybe it's a different angle, but like the mix, specifically on Randy's vocals, the mix for Sacrament was a little bit dirtier. Like, it wasn't quite as clear as Ashes of the Wake, but Ashes of the Wake had a little bit more like aggression in it in some respects, where Sacrament, they went a little bit more groove. Where I would say Lamb of God really kind of lost it there for a little bit would have been with Resolution, which I still like that album, but like I loved Wrath. Like, I love Wrath. Those, because the first time I saw Lamb of God was in 2009. It was when they were touring on Wrath. Loved that album. So
I saw them during the Sacrament tour, and that's why I called Randy a coward, and he was angry at me because he didn't want to sign my set list. I'm like, you fucking coward. He's like, eat a dick. And he turned around. I'm like, yeah, sorry, I called you a name, but I just wanted you to sign. He's like, nah, it's fine. It's fine. I didn't promise you to do it. He's like, fuck you. It's like, oops. Oops, might have want to watch my words there. But I got Chris Adler. I got Chris Adler to sign it. Unfortunately, never got a drumstick from him. Mark
Morton.
Mark Morton, John. There's one signature I didn't get from Lamb of God, but I can't remember which one.
So that would have been Willie as the other guitar player.
Yeah, I know, but I remember seeing Willie. So maybe it was Mark that I didn't get.
Okay, yeah, Mark is a little bit shorter. Back then, Willie would have been a big boy, but
Willie was fat.
Yeah, okay,
Willie was fucking fat.
Have you seen like newer videos or pictures of him?
No,
He dropped it. All right, this is gonna be interesting. Okay, hold on.
Oh God, Willie Adler. Yeah, I think it's a shame that Chris Adler left.
Yeah, he supposedly was kind of taken back by it. So he had like an illness or something and he couldn't play some of the songs, which it's tragic, but I understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, what happened to Willie? Holy shit.
Okay. Yeah, so you found pictures. I was going to pull it up. Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Okay, so I want to pull this up for people who may.
I mean, Mark's a chunky boy now, but.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he was never like particularly diced or anything like that. Okay, so for the audience just listening or seeing, okay, so here's Willie from back in the day, back when he was fat, right?
Yeah.
Now you go to today and where is it? Okay, yeah, this would be a good picture. Show this tab instead. Okay, Yeah. I don't know what he did, but he lost all this weight like a couple years back. Yeah. I remember seeing them live. I'm like, they get a new guitar player. Like, that doesn't look like a new one. Yeah. He looks like a completely different person. But, you know, good on him for losing. He had to lose probably, you know, over 100 pounds, I would guess.
Oh yeah.
Because he was what the big. Hell happened to him? Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, he's been like that for the last few years. But it's, you know, good on him.
Matt, what happened to Willie Adler? And blah, 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 blah. But, like, Chris couldn't play anymore?
Yeah, I think he, if I remember correctly, I just read about this literally like a week or two ago. He was having an issue. I want to say it was with like his feet. He had some illness. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was saying like there's some double bass stuff that he just couldn't do anymore. And he started to kind of figure out how to work around it, but it just wasn't really working out for him at the time. So fortunately, they split ways. I can't remember their Diego Cruz, I think is their or Art Cruz. Art Cruz, that's our current drummer's name. The last two albums they did with Will or Chris, I liked, but I didn't love. So there was Storm on Drog, and that was 2016-ish. And then the one before that was Resolution. So like those two albums, but the self-titled one, which was the first one they did with Art Cruz, was like good, but not great. But their most recent album, Omens, was fucking phenomenal. So I think they kind of got back to it. But yeah, they haven't released anything new. They did that song with Creator, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And they also did that Floods of Triton with Mastodon, which is a pretty neat song.
Oh, Dystonia. What the fuck?
Yeah. So Chris Adler had played for Megadeth there for.
Yeah. No,
yeah, he played with them for one album, and then the drummer from Soilwork had joined Megadeth.
He had muscle dystonia. Oh, wow. Okay. His right foot. Oh, that's what happened. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was something with his foot where he said he just couldn't feel it, or like it was a lot of pain. So he couldn't do some of the double bass stuff anymore. So, you know, like Megadeth obviously would have some more double bass, but I think he only played with them for like a brief moment. Cause like I said, they got the drummer from Soilwork playing in Dirk Verburen playing for Megadeth now.
Yeah. And then he joined Megadeth, blah, 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 blah. Never the most functional group of people.
He was playing in a band with Michelangelo Badio briefly. And then I think he formed a new group relatively recently. I can't recall what it was off the top of my head.
Oh my, that's a shame, man, because
yeah,
I mean, Chris kind of made that band, you know.
He was such a very iconic drummer. Yeah,
he was. I remember being able to play Late to Rest. I was so proud of myself. It was, and then Ruin was a bit annoying with that. What was it again?
Is it like the drum fill you're thinking about?
It's actually not that hard, but you need to know what to do, because
there was a very specific attack, and this kind of goes to like when you're playing guitar, the difference between like alternate picking and down picking. There's a reason why people look at like James Hetfield is like one of the best rhythm players ever, is because he knows down picking is important, and like there's a specific attack that you hear, like in my band's song Cry. The verses are all down picked. It's like, and it's pretty intense. Like my forearm starts to cramp by the end of it if I'm not like all warmed up. So, but there's a very specific sound that you get from the same attack. And that's what like Ruin has, because the beginning, yeah. So there's a very specific sound to that. And, you know, I'm sure there's something specific on drums.
The drums on that album sound terrible, but it works.
Yeah, well,
like, I mean, the drum track is amazing, but it's the mix where it's like, it sounds like he's playing a $250 kit, you know, and like maybe $100 crashes. Although Chris Adler had
the whole mixing on that specific album as the Palace Burns was pretty dirty, if you will. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It wasn't very clean and clear.
It's not as bad as the first one that had Black Label on it.
Yeah. New American Gospel.
Yeah, New American Gospel. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
So, like, that has its charm.
Well, yeah, all of that, all that kind of does. So there's a album by Vision of Disorder that came out in 98. I can't remember the name of it, but, like, the quality of the master is, I'm going to be honest, it is awful. But there's a certain charm to it, right? Kind of like, you know, the older music, if you listen to, like, older heavy stuff, screaming back, like, I want to say probably, like, 95, always was pretty iffy. But then, like, after that, it started to get a little bit better. Like, Pantera was probably, like, the prime example of somebody who, like, when they started getting into it and getting big, like, the screams from Phil sounded fucking golden.
Do you remember Screamo? That horrible genre of music?
Yeah. You think, like, early Devil Wears Prada and stuff like that. It's like,
ugh. Oh, God, yeah. But I do remember. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say I was an emo kid, but there were emo bands I really enjoyed. Were Three Tears for Sweet Revenge by My Chemical Romance. I was listening to that album not a couple of months ago, and I'm like, this seriously isn't that bad. Like, it's not a fat... The titles of the songs were way too long, where it's like, it's not a fashion statement, it's a death wish. And it's this fucking punk song. It's like, oh, okay.
Man. That was a big thing for those kind of bands.
Mm-hmm. And then you got Welcome to the Black Parade, which was, it's not bad, but at a certain, all of those bands went through the losing our edge thing. Yeah. It's like, okay, we're no teenagers anymore, or we're not 20 anymore, we're not angry. Now we're more melodic, because I never listened to the fourth album by My Chemical Romance. Never listened to it. Never. Because that's where Gerard, I think it is. He dyed his hair red, and they went the electronic route.
Oh.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah, no, I'm done here. But then I got more into, like, Between the Buried and Me and Alaska. No, Alaska is the song from, can't remember what the album is called, but Colors. I absolutely love one of the greatest concept albums ever. I have got my Colors record signed by every band member.
Nice.
Yeah, I went there with Watson. Great story, by the way. We were a day too early. It's like, fuck. I was so happy we weren't a day too late, but we were a day too early, which, thank the Lord. But I remember the drummer, Blake, he came out. He's like, you actually got a physical copy? It's like, what? He was so flabbergasted to see it. And then we saw them at the time of Parallax Hypersleep 2, which is an amazing record, which in my humble opinion might even be better than Colors. Now they have Colors 2, and I remember even asking Rolo about that. Like, hey, did you listen to it? He's like, yeah, I did. I'm like, oh, what did you think? He's like, eh, too polished. Like, yeah, I kind of understand what you think. Because, like, Colors has this brilliant song at the end called White Walls. And that solo has such an amazing, gnarly, like pull off. Is it a pull off or a pull on? I think that's more
of a hammer on or pull off. Yeah.
Yeah. Like this amazing pull off in it. Like, ding! It's so nasty, so dirty, and it works so well in that solo. And it's a build up to that entire moment, and it pays off. Like, it pays off. You have this 1 hour record. And at 59 minutes or 58, whatever it is, it all pays off. Where it's like, wow. It all pays off, and it's the slow descent into the ending. And then they make Colors 2, and they didn't hit the landing. Where it's like, it's not a bad album. It's not. But then you hear the final track, and you feel that buildup. It's getting there. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And it's like, wait, where is it? Like, it didn't land as hard as White Walls did. I was like, fuck. You know, and latest Tool album, I listened to it and nothing, I remember nothing. It sounded all like Wish.com Lateralis. No, honesty. The latest Tool album to me sounded like Wish.com Lateralis.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I liked it, but for me, Tool never had anything like, I don't want to say not memorable, but like if you picked out 10 Tool songs, there's probably stuff I would probably enjoy every single one.
Schism, but, the pot, parabola.
Yeah, but there would be like nothing to me that like I would write home about. Like nothing that I'd be like, oh wow, that was like the time signatures and everything are cool. Like even as a musician, the fact that they could do all these crazy time signatures, that's cool. But like, it's too
ticks and leeches.
It's too much. I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase this, and this is going to be perfect, but like, it's too much technicality and not enough art. You know what I mean? Like they almost play too much, but they don't say anything. And maybe
a little bit. I get what you mean, where it's like, oh, we're technical. It's like, yeah, what else?
You're playing for musicians, not people. Like one thing that I loved about Killswitch Engage, and this is what separates them from like a lot of other bands, is that like they write music. They write really fucking good songs. And they don't overstay their welcome, right? Like when you start getting in Machine Head and stuff like that, it's still fucking awesome, but like it's almost unreachable for the average person. And like you couldn't listen to it all the time. Killswitch Engage, you could almost flip them on at any time because like they don't overstay their welcome with the vast majority of their music. Mm-hmm. Machine Head, you have to be, not to say that you have to be in a mood for it, because I'd listen to it at any time, but like they're a step above in some respects. And like I said, this isn't like a knock on anybody in this respect. It's just more of like Killswitch Engage writes really good fucking songs. And like there is an art to that that just some people don't have. And maybe I don't have that. That's okay. I can accept that. But like,
I mean, a lot of people shit. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people shit on Dave Grohl, but say whatever you want. He writes catchy music.
Exactly. He is a songwriter first and foremost.
ABBA. That is important. I do not care if you are the most alpha male that ever alphaed. If you do not like ABBA, you have a mental disorder. Mm. There's something seriously wrong with you. How can you not like the disco beats of ABBA? I don't care what people say. Seriously. Mm. How can you not enjoy that? You know, Man After Midnight? It's like, that's fucking catchy. That's fucking sweet. Dancing Queen, for all I care. You know? It's like, or Prince. How can you not like Prince? Is it Darling Nikki or Little Nikki? Darling Nikki, I think. You know that song?
No. It's about
Prince encounter with a sex worker. It's a brilliant song. Who's into kinky shit.
Yeah.
He meets her in a hotel lobby masturbating with a magazine.
Jesus Christ.
It's an amazing song. It really is. It's an amazing song. But yeah, like, say whatever you want about those bands or like those artists. It's catchy. It is absolutely catchy. Like I said that at my work in my former, semi-government job. I was transferred to a new department and we're talking music and all of a sudden ABBA came on. And I'm like, I truly think somebody has a mental impairment that if you don't like ABBA. And normally people would at least smirk or smile. The whole department went quiet. I'm like, I'm not going to stay here for long, am I? It's like, yeah, I'm fucked. I mean, and at this point, the freedom I've encountered here, I'm like, I don't care anymore. Mm. I don't care anymore. Like, no. I already looked like for a part-time, like with how everything is going right now, I can get by on one day of work per week in like, on a paycheck basis. Mm. It's like, you know what? Fine. Industrial cleaner. Fine, I'll take it. Yeah, it's on Friday. You start at 7 a.m. It's like, oh no. Mm. Sure. I'll do it. I don't care. The whole government, but that's a whole different biscuit. Stay on music. Stay on target. Like that's the whole burnout thing, right? Like even the Manosphere stuff. It's like, don't get me wrong, I still love it. And not for, like, at a certain point, it's like, yeah, bitches ain't shit. I know. Like, we know. But talking about strategies and seeing a guy understand it, or even me, I have giant covert contracts still. Mm-hmm. Like, do I like having them? No, they're very annoying. And they do me way more harm than good. But at least I know what
Oh, whoa. You cut out there for a second.
Oh, there we go. I'm back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're good. Yeah. You're good.
Where it's like, at least I know what a covert contract is and I can work on it and things like that. And talking to people who then understand that about themselves as well never gets old.
Mm-hmm.
I will never get tired of people who tell me like, oh, I used to watch X podcast and all it did was got me angry and I didn't get anywhere. And then I found your stuff or Nuke stuff or Kyle stuff or Ryan stuff, Rolo stuff, things like that. It's like, yeah, that will never get old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's stuff like that always is more important. And I've said it many times that like, what's up, Stegs? It's good to see you. Massad killed Prince. And I'm not flaming you when I say this, but like this kind of stuff does kind of burn me out after a while. And like, I understand. And you know, maybe there is like a completely.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Good reason I'd be open to having that conversation, but like, you know, sometimes I'm like, ugh. When I see... We were talking about this a little bit yesterday off air, but like the juice burging stuff, I understand it to a very, very large degree. But like for me personally, I always try to be human and I'm not even saying that people like to do this aren't. It's like I have to sometimes remind myself to come back to reality. And, you know, maybe this kind of leads us into the one thing that I did have planned that I wanted to talk about today, but HoMath. Right.
Somebody should shove him back in the locker, man. Where it's like, dude.
HoMath. Like, yeah. Oh, Sunday morning joke. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe you were right, but yeah, good morning. I'm sorry. I hope you didn't take it as me flaming you, because I'm not, I promise. But
I like his username because it almost looks like steaks. He combines steak and eggs.
Like, yeah, if you go to his Twitter, I think you would really enjoy a lot of his stuff on Twitter because he has like his own kitchen. It's only like 3 or 4 hours away from me, and I feel bad because when I was headed out that way, I didn't stop by. I would love to stop by his restaurant sometime, but it's like I said, like 3 or 4 hours away from me. Maybe like if I'm going to, I don't know if I'd ever go to Atlantic City again because that place is a shithole. But if I'm out that way again, I definitely want to stop by. HoMath has been on like a spurg out fest, and I don't want to read all this, but like, I do want to read his original tweet, but like he posted something. Where is it? Here. I just want to read this because like, this epitomizes exactly what I'm talking about. And I've been talking about this a little bit more on Twitter. If you're following HoMath, I understand, but and this also goes to like some of the, I don't either, but like,
I'll be the bad guy, Kyle. I'll be the bad guy. I'll say it. I don't care if this guy gets angry at me. It's like, oh, dude, I would love it if HoMath get mad at me. Dude, do it. Do it. For the love of God, HoMath publicly humiliate me because that will work in my favor. Believe me, it will.
So he tweeted this out in reply to somebody. It's way too late for me to have a real life. I'm not getting married. I'm never ever having a real relationship. I'm never going to build a house or buy one or make it the way I like. I don't have time or energy for any of that. I'm an adult, adolescent until death now. I got no chance to start any sort of life that makes sense. You know, I'm 40, right? I'm not in great health from stress issues stemming from the pandemic, and I can't handle 100% of my own needs, never mind a family. Sure, there's a lot that I contribute to the world, but I'm not going to get much back for it. No matter how much money I get, there isn't much I can do with it. Maybe get a nice place to live or a car, but not a real life. Like,
overt contract. Covert contract.
Yeah, exactly. I did all this stuff. I earned all this money. Like, he is a perfect example of just a dude who completely, like, mentally burned himself out from being too terminally online. Like, and maybe this is a joke. Maybe he's doing this for attention. I don't know, but even at that, like, if you're resorting to saying this kind of shit publicly, like, I can't imagine that. Dude, the pandemic was 5 years ago. But you know what I did in that time? I got in way better shape. My band wrote a whole shitload of songs. Like, we, I love my old guitar player, Jay, but like, we moved on from him, and not in like a bad way. It just wasn't gelling. Like, me and him just didn't gel in this respect. Like, I don't know how you could still hold something that happened 5 years ago. Like, how you could say this is responsible for this. Like,
do you know how much I got laid during COVID? It's like, holy.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yannicka the nurse. Oh my God. She was wild. I loved it. And our there's a couple of chicks in there who just came over and like, oh, we gotta drive before the curfew and I gotta stay over. It's like, oh no, you gotta stay over. It's like, this just proves it time and time again, where it's like, alpha is a mindset, not a demographic. Why do we take these people seriously? Why? Yeah. Why does he have such a huge following? I tell you why, because most people don't want to do the fucking work. They'd rather watch a chart.
He validates what people want to hear, because he's going to sit there and tell you women are bad, right? And that's what he does. He's going to logically deduce for you why women are bad and how they choose, and make this stuff very, very digestible for guys who don't want to do anything, right? Like, and like, we're not like, yeah.
You know, I'm 40? 40? My friend, as a man, if you do it right, that's where life begins.
Right.
If you do it right, that's where life begins. And bless that man. I could not be happier that I actually read Rollo's second book. That is the one that made it click for me, where it's like, wait a minute. I'm not on a time span here. I have time. If I use all of my resources well, I will be better off in my 40s than whomever I know.
Mm-hmm.
If I do it right. And thank God for Cappy. But then you have this guy, a so-called red pill guy. What the hell has he contributed to actual actionable advice? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All he has contributed is charts and graphs. Well,
thank you.
Has he taught a guy how to do something? Oh, I have my... He has a stupid course. Can you look that thing up? Man, I'm angry.
No, I get it. But like, I'll see if I can find it, or maybe if you.
Well, it's a looks maxing thing.
I
help men with looks maxing. What is this Twitter bio? I'm a dork. No, history's manliest and most hilarious sex genius. Well, there you go. First of all, self max, my AI self improvement service.
Oh,
sword
Jesus.
Pills. What the hell?
Holy hell. Yeah, this is like marketing baffle gargle 101. Yeah, real quick from Stegs. Yeah, home math. High enough T to maintain logical skills. Low enough T to be a raging pussy. Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's the fucking thing, is that like I said, he's telling people essentially, guys who are already kind of frustrated with like the dating market and the current sexual marketplace, he's giving them everything they want to hear. But though, like, what's the actionable advice? And we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, too, where, like, all these debates and stuff like that, which I watch them, don't get me wrong, when it comes to, like, political stuff, I enjoy watching them. But, like, these panel shows where it's men having conversations with girls and finger-wagging at them, it's like, okay, well, now that we've done this 6,000 times, how has your life improved? What information are you taking away from this that is actually going to make you a better guy, or help you level up, or do anything that's going to improve your own life? Because I guarantee you, any of those debates, any of these jerk sessions, none of them did anything for you. And I've watched them. I've watched hours of them. Not going to lie. I haven't done it recently, but like, none of that stuff's going to improve your life. So,
but also, like, what he says about that tweet, I'm not in great health from stress issues stemming from the pandemic. Oh, Matt, have you worked out? What's your bench? Seriously, what's your bench, bro? I'm not even kidding. I'm not being facetious here. My legitimate question to home math is, how much do you bench, bro? I guarantee you, 135. Not even.
Yeah.
Not even. Maybe, how heavy is the bar again in pounds? 45?
45.
Yeah, what is it? 45 max. Max. I guarantee you. Home math might have been blunt. I might have ripped you a new one. Get your bench to 225. See your life improve. Yeah. See your health improve. See everything improve. Get your squat to, you know, get that one to 225 as well. And then maybe 315, depending on. Just get those numbers up. Oh, but I'm 40. Dude, go to a doctor. Get your hormones checked. Whatever. If it is required, go on medical. I am not a medical doctor, whatever. I would recommend you do some research on your hormone balance and things like that, and ask your medical professional what might be the best course of action for you. TRT. Sorry, I had something in my throat, which could be helpful to you. But stop fucking whining.
Yeah, especially like I see guys like this on the internet. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
What bothers me is that they're popular.
Yeah, but like we all know, guys implicitly know, nobody gives a shit. And like, that's not good. It's not bad. It just is. The best part about that is you can decide at what you do with that information. You could say, oh my God, woe is me. Nobody cares. Or you say, nobody cares, so I can do what I want. Because either way, people don't care. People are completely apathetic to men's concerns. So guess what? That means you get to fill that void with what you want. That's exactly it. And then like, okay, so you do something that people don't like. Okay, what are they going to do? And guess what? Even if you do something that gets you wildly unpopular, guess what? In a couple days, nobody cares.
Dude, Jack Murphy is now an insurance agent.
Yeah.
What the hell?
All right. And people look at him as reputable.
Oh, the whole cuck thing didn't hurt him.
Yep.
Not at all. He's now an insurance agent. I mean, I'm not the one who's going to call out the irony on that one. Now, I ain't saying, I'm just saying kind of thing. But, you know. But he's still around. Mm. Even our beloved Sultan of Swing. What was it? What did he call himself? I can't remember. He stirs coffee with chopsticks. Which, if you actually ask any coffee connoisseur, that's not a thing. And I know because I know you and I know an actual coffee connoisseur in the Philippines who does that thing now. He told me about it. He's like, yeah, did you know nobody knows about that chopstick thing? I'm like, why am I not surprised? I'm not surprised, but those people are still around. They still do their thing. And like the whole math thing, buddy, I wish you a million subscribers. I hope you get it, but for the love of God, use it for good and not for this garbage.
Yeah.
Like be like Asmund Gold, please. Dude, Asmund sits around, plays World of Warcraft, has big titty streamer girlfriends. Because of his status. It's like, use it. You're 40 years old.
Yeah.
Get in shape. Start showing your face. Bro, if you have... How many followers do he have? Does he have? Like, you want to talk... You want to talk global sexual marketplace? 192 followers on Twitter. 192,000. If he gets in shape, he starts showing his face, and he's actually good looking, guaranteed. Within a week, he's got dates lined up.
Yeah, it's none of this shit is like insanely hard. I don't like it takes time, but it's so crazy to me that guys will actually like type that out and hit send. In his position, I guarantee he's probably making a decent bit of money too. Like, you could really make your life something good, but.
He's got so many views on his YouTube.
He complicates his own life for what reason?
689,000 subscribers. His last video was uploaded 14 hours ago. 95,000 views.
Holy
look, fuck. I am proving my point here. This man has social status up the wazoo.
All right. And if you got that kind of stuff, you're
making use money it.
On YouTube. You're definitely making money on YouTube if you got that.
But lean into it. Lean. Yeah. Dude, leverage it. Like I said, oh, but I'm 40. It's like, dude, if I'm 40 and I have almost a million YouTube subscribers, you'll be guaranteed I'm going to abuse it. Well, not literally, but, you know, I'm going to leverage it in my favor. Mm. And, oh, it's like, Oh, yeah. Oh, what's that? Other big titted streamer hotties who now want something to do with me because I've got a large following? Sure. I'm all yours. Why don't you take me out to a restaurant? You never watched my content, did you?
Yeah, I just this, I like the whole podcasting sphere, I don't want to say it burns me out, but like I look at all of it and I realize, not that I necessarily wasted time, but I'm like, man, like a lot of this stuff is just fucking, it's never about the conversation. It's about getting more content out there, right? Like just an endless cycle of, we're going to do this and then we're going to clip a bunch of it. Everybody's going to get their yucks and we're going to move on and just keep doing that. Like, I hope with all the podcasts I've done, 412 of them now, people learned something and made their lives a little bit better. It's why I don't like try to just do constant news stuff. Cause it's like, what is that actually improving? Like the fitness stuff that I've gone over, hopefully I've changed people's mind on something. Like, this is kind of why I always go to bat against like seed oil stuff. When I see people like spurging about that, I'm like, have you ever like read anything on it? Like people,
which one?
Like when I talk about seed oil, like when people start spurging about seed oil, oh, this is the devil. I'm like, well, like if have you read anything about it? And people like combat me over this stuff. It's like, why would you want to like purposely complicate the way your diet is? Like really, most diet stuff really isn't that complicated. If you want to get into nutritional sciences, okay, that's a different story. But like some people just endlessly complicate their lives about this stuff. And it's like, for what purpose? Why? Like,
okay. How do I phrase this? The whole seed oil thing, like, I know a little bit about it. My only thing is that the alternatives that are being presented, I do think are, like, a little bit better options. Where it's like, oh, beef tallow or, like, cooking fat and things like that. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Makes sense. Mm-hmm. But to say that seed oils are the end of the world and you're going to die, it's like, nah, you're not. Yeah. You're going to be fine. Oh no, you've had seed oils and seed oils stay in your body for 7 years and then they're going to grow. And it's like, dude, come on, man. If you masturbate, you're not going to grow hair on your hands. Okay. Like nothing's going to happen. You're not going to turn blind. You're not going to grow hair on your hands. Hey, it's Dave. Scar Thumb Podcast, everybody. Tune in.
Yeah. Make sure you go subscribe. Just when it comes to like, when people start arguing about these kind of fats, it's like, okay, well, by every single study I've read, exactly. But like, if you were to swap every single calorie of seed oils for butter, tallow, whatever, people are still going to be just as fat as they are now, because it's not about the seed oils. It's about the foods that they're putting them in, and people just can't stop eating food that tastes fucking good. I get it.
Dude, when I come to the States, you got to take me to a place where they bake the fries in tallow.
There's Buffalo Wild Wings is like the one that I think of. Buffalo Wild Wings and Steak and Shake. A tool the devil is not the devil, but can still do the devil's work. The point here is basically just that, like, if, like I said, if you were to swap every single calorie per calorie, gram for gram of butter, you know, of seed oils for butter, tallow, whatever your preferred fat is, everybody's still going to be just as sick as they are now. Because once again, this takes conscious effort, conscious restraint on you to lose weight and get in better shape. You stop downing brownies, all the hyper palatable food, French fries, shit that I still eat and still enjoy, but just to a reasonable degree, you're still going to be fat and out of shape. That's just is what it is. The responsibility isn't on the food dyes. Like those two drops of food dye that RFK is now banning, that's not going to do fuck all for your health. I'm sorry to break the news for you. This is still on you. People don't like to accept that. Guess what? Your health may not have necessarily been your fault because you were a kid and you know you had people influencing you and feeding you things just when you weren't fully autonomous. But like at a certain point, it is your problem. And when it's your problem, it's your responsibility. That's all there is to it.
Ooh, that's an evil word right there, responsibility. But I mean, your happiness is your responsibility, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
If you're burned out of something, just be honest with yourself where it's like, you know what? This shit burns me out. I'm done. I'm tired. Oh, but you're giving up. Am I? Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like we, the whole debating bro space, like, I am right. What happened to like the actual strategies that like my little space, our little space has been talking about, you know, with the whole fogging, negative assertion, negative inquiry, especially negative assertion it is one of the best tools to have where it's like, you're wrong. I probably am. Well, you're right. I'm wrong. You know what? I am wrong. It's like, I can see why you say that. Fog a little bit. It's like, no. No, I understand why you're saying that. And then just the assertive Bill of Rights. I don't care. Mm-hmm. There is, I hope I can find it. There's a clip of Ryan during a, it is the only, no way. It's not the only debate he's ever done, but it's one of the few. There's only three he's ever done, I think. Mm. One with Erudite, which I don't even think was a real debate. It was more like Ryan copping out, not copping out, zoning out at 30 minutes where it's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
he's like, I fucking have 1.5 hours more to go. But him and what's her name? Shady Books, Sally Books or whatever.
That Sally writes books or something like that. It's some
yeah. shit. And her boyfriend or whatever is there. And he's like, hey, but what about men who don't get laid, man? Men who have a hard time. And Ryan just sits there and he's like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like the most savage thing I've ever seen Ryan do. It's like, I don't care. But what about, I don't care. No. And the whole argument fell to the waistline where it's like, I don't care. You people are not my problem. I want to help guys who actually want something. You know?
Right. Yeah, it's so funny because in respect to the whole debate me bro space and like bringing it back to more of our niche, is that like you don't have to care about like the prompts for women or how this affects women. And like people get mad at me when I say like single moms are a bad prospect. Like if you're a guy, in my opinion, if you're asking, I don't think you should date a single mom because it's a bad prospect for you and what you want, and it's draining on your resources. It's bad for the guys. And people start, oh, you're immoral. These kids should suffer. Like they start throwing all these implications out here. I'm like, I'm not concerned about these people. I'm sorry, but that's just not my concern. I'm concerned about the guy I'm talking to.
Yeah.
That's what I'm concerned about. And whatever's best for him is what we're looking at. I'm not looking at what's best for the single mom or her kid. Wish them all the best. Not my concern. I'm concerned about the guy.
And I know exactly what you mean because the kid is going to be an emotional crutch. Oh, I need to take care of my son. He needs something. Oh, of course, honey. Even though he's not my crutch goblin, I'll take care of him. There you go. You're going to be emotionally manipulated with that kid. Because, yeah, you're going to care and you're a human being and your empathy will be used against you. It's almost as if somebody had an article about that called Empathy Will Kill Your Relationship. Yes, that's mine. But you can't, because, how do I phrase this? They immediately go for your emotion. It's like, oh, so you don't care, so you're mean and you're this and you're that. And it's like, you know what? Accept it. Just accept it. It's like, you know what? As Nuke used to say, I am not a good man.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a good man.
There's so much genius in that, and people have no idea.
No. Yeah. Like, and just the calm in how he said it. I was like, well, you know what? I'm not a good man. Or I'm not a bad man, or I'm a bad man. It's one of the two.
He said, I'm not a good man. Because every single time someone goes after you, they always say, a good man would do X. Anytime you hear masculinity, anything like this pertaining to like this archetype of manliness, that person that's talking to you is trying to manipulate you 100% of the time, because what they're telling you is their archetype. They're trying to fit you into their box so that way you live by their rules, which once again, when you say I'm not a good man, instantly you're telling them no. I reject that, and I have my own standards, and I don't care if you want your standards. Convince me why that's good for me. What's it for me?
I reject your worldview. Now, what are you going to do? Hunker down. Yeah. Like, nope. I mean, I've been thinking about that when I go home. Like, do I go back to my old gym? And those members who started shit, they're still there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Yeah, no. I'd rather cycle for like 5 minutes instead of walk for 2 minutes, because then deal with that, in all honesty. Because the boys have been hitting me up like, yeah. One of them keeps filing official complaints just to get attention. Mm-hmm. And my manager still hasn't gotten rid of him. I'm like, this problem can be solved so easily. You just tell him you are free to go to a different gym.
Yeah.
And it will stop. Does she do it? No. And you know what? Not my fucking problem. As soon as they texted me, I sent them a photo of the view of my balcony. It's like, well, sucks to be you guys. Yeah, it's like, I don't got to deal with that. I told you guys, I told you what would happen. Did people listen to me? No, they got rid of me. It's like, okay, fine, burn. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna enjoy a good life when I'm back home. I know that. I'm gonna enjoy a very peaceful life when I'm back home.
Yeah, it's funny because we kind of talked about this yesterday too. And Nuke had passed on a little bit more genius when he said men say less as they get older. And I don't know if that was originally him that said that, but basically it's true. And I've thought about that a lot ever since he said that, because it's like, yeah, we understand. Nobody listens and nobody cares. And I was talking to my dad. This was probably a few months back, and it was probably shortly after I had told him that my wife and I are expecting, you know, a kid. And I made it pretty clear to him that I wanted him to be involved in her life. And not like he would ever not be involved, but like, I just want to make it explicitly clear that, like, I want you to be involved in my daughter's life, because I know what a positive impact my grandfather had on my life. And I want the same thing for my daughter, because I think my dad would be a very positive impact on my daughter's life. In fact, I don't think I know. So I remember him saying something to the degree of, at a certain point, where he's like, I'm just here to fix things when they're broken, or like when things are so bad that like they need to be set right. And that's kind of my position. And I just know that that's that. And like when Nuke said men say less as they get older, that instantly came back to my mind. And like, I don't know if you kind of see like the connection here, but basically in that moment when he told me that, he was basically saying like, I don't say a lot because I just know when shit gets broken, I'm reliable and I'm going to fix it. That kind of like it squared that circle, if you know what I mean. And
yeah,
yeah, I know same deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Nuke's streamathon has started as well.
Mm. All right. Well, you know what? Let's maybe we can wrap up here in a few minutes. We could still talk afterwards, but like,
oh yeah, no, I'd love to. I mean, I've got nowhere to go today. The Belarusian already dropped by. We had burgers, we had milkshake. Oh, yeah. Everything. It's so chill. It's so nice when you meet a girl and it's like, it just smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he's been for
30 minutes, about 30 minutes.
Okay. Hold on. I'm going to present his stream and then I guess we'll wrap up, because I want to make something neat. But like I said, we'll still hang out afterwards. Okay. So everybody listening right now, if I knew how to turn on redirects, I would. But make sure you go check out Nuke's stream. And if you're not subscribed to Nuke right now, please make sure you go check out his channel. Nuke is a very, very dear friend of mine. And I know he's working pretty hard on building his stuff up. And he's he fucked up his pinky or something like that, so he's recovering from that. Make sure you go subscribe to his channel and go check that out. I think we're probably going to wrap here. So everybody make sure you go to tigerfitness.com. Jack, drop all your links in the chat so that way people can go check out your stuff. And
so I dropped the link to Nuke stream so people can go there. And if you're interested in the little rants I did, my YouTube channel is in the chat right now as well. So go there, and from there you can find all my other work.
Cool.
There's something new I'm trying out on YouTube, is only drop the YouTube link because they're already on that platform, and see if that works.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Jack also writes for Substack, and you can go find that, I'm sure, on his YouTube and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Go follow Jack on Twitter, Jack Napier, not on Twitter, which if you're listening on Twitter, he should be tagged in the thing. And
oh, I can drop my Twitter link as well if you'd like.
Yeah, it's easy. Go ahead. Whatever you got to do.
Where is it? Yeah. Bad, bad, bad. Yeah. Where is my Twitter? There's my Twitter. Hello. There we go. And then for the people who wonder, I did release a new Substack essay yesterday, Red Flags Are a Green Light, which, yes, is actually my quote from 4 years ago. And now I wrote a whole essay about it. Like, what did I actually mean when I said that? Because people kind of tend to conflict that a bit. I'd say, no. It's not what I meant.
Yeah.
But there it is. There's all my stuff.
Nice. All right. Well, like I said, we're going to wrap here. I have Gord McGill coming on Wednesday to talk about trucking. So make sure you check that out. I think it's 9 p.m. we're going to be going live. So it's a little bit later for me, but of course, come back, check that out. I've been reaching out to a whole ton of people and it's been frustrating getting guests on, but everything will be all right. Everybody avoid burnout. I guess I should wrap also with the key to avoiding burnout is taking the foot off the gas whenever you feel it's necessary. And also for me, I find being consistent is just sometimes you just have little slumps. It'll go away. Everything will be all right. Jack, do you have anything before we close it out?
For the burnout, how to avoid it, just be honest with yourself. And also put things into perspective. Look at where you were 6 months ago and look at where you are now. Are you happy? Are you happier where you are now than where you were 6 months ago? And if that answer is yes, you're on the right track. That's okay if you slow down every now and then.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody. With that, we're calling her a stream. Go to Nuke's channel.
Go to Nuke. Go to Nuke.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.